morning, St. Luke's. Happy 4th of July.
Here are the announcements for today. We have a new group focusing on racial reconciliation that will be meeting Tuesdays at 6 on Google Meet starting on July 21st. Becoming the Beloved Community. Join us as we begin a journey seeking racial healing, reconciliation, and justice using Presiding Bishop Michael Curry's Spiritual and Racial Justice course on the Church Next website. Members of the Woodland Presbyterian Church have been invited to join us. If you have any questions about this group or if you're interested in RSVPing, please contact Leanne, and her information is in the posting and in the bulletin and in your email announcement this week. So thank you to Leanne for starting that one up. We've also been getting questions about our interim and search process. So we put a new section up on our church website. If you go to the homepage, there's a section right there that says search process that you can click on and read about the steps that we're going through to work towards calling a new rector. We are in talks with the diocesan office about getting an interim, and that's been ongoing. And then upcoming in the search process itself, we have listening sessions, which we are scheduling right now, and we will probably have the first one in late August, where we'll bring the community together to discuss who we are as St. Luke's and where we want to grow and how a new rector might help us with those goals. Right now, we don't know whether or not those meetings are going to be in person or not. We're planning to do a combination of meetings over a video platform like Zoom, but then also phone call interviews for anybody who's not interested in a video interaction. So there will be options for everybody. And we will keep you guys posted on that as we move forward. And then the last announcement I have for this morning is please stick through the service all the way to the postlude this morning, because Jerry Hohenwater has put together his traditional patriotic medley for you, and it's fabulous. So hang out and listen to that. And thank you to Jerry, and always thank you to Dean every week for putting together all this beautiful music for us to listen to so we can be together. Thank you to the Reverend Suzanne Guthrie for being with us this morning. Wonderful to have Suzanne back with us. And that's it for the announcements. So on with the service. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart, and united in one another with pure affection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The servant said to Laban, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Kenites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will also water your camels." So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Ahiroi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountain, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, The vines are in blossom, and they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here ends the reading. Thank you. St. Luke's. It's lovely to be with you again. Being with you in person would be more fun, but this is a way to hold you in my heart in a different, perhaps slower, more thoughtful way than if I were there having more fun with you. I hope, too, that you think of me fondly and pray for me. Gospel means good news. And I want to get to the good news in this sermon. Specifically, I want to get to Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How will I get from our contemporary situation to those beautiful, musical, comforting words? I've been studying and writing about the climate crisis for the last few years, and I've become paralyzed, angry, sad, tired, and overwhelmed. Environmentalists and scientists have been warning and been ignored for decades. We played the flute for you and you would not dance. We wailed and you would not mourn. And now the COVID-19 pandemic has brought the core problem, our disordered relationship with nature and one another, into our homes, into our very lungs. But I must tell you that for the first time in many years, I'm hopeful. In no way am I saying the pandemic has been good, no. Just in this country alone, the death toll is closing in on 130,000 people, with 50,000 new cases each day. Permanent organ damage to many who survive. The horror, grief, loss for each family is incalculable. The pandemic has uncovered our lack of foresight, highlighted our neglect, our tendency to favor politics over public safety, and our deadly denial. In 2018, the current administration dissolved the National Security Directorate for Global Health Security and Biodefense, which linked experts from the Center for Disease Control, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, the World Health Organization, the National Security Council, FEMA, and other agencies, not only to one another, but all the many chains of personnel, communication, transportation, the inventories of equipment, supplies, medicines stockpiled in the event of a pandemic, bio attack, or other emergencies. At a dinner party once, I sat next to a man who worked for FEMA in San Francisco. His job was to imagine worst case scenarios. Imagine, say, a major earthquake and a tidal wave during a pandemic during the fire season. Then his job is to work out plans for such an emergency with drills and dress rehearsals to see the weaknesses in the system and fix them top to bottom, bottom to top. The pandemic exposed the arbitrary foolishness of dismantling those systems and the importance of the heroic and hidden work, the service part of civil service. Another critical issue the pandemic exposed is the need for universal health care. If we don't all have care, none of us truly have care. This is obvious from economic and public health perspectives, and enacted in every similarly rich country but ours. In our culture, we are used to thinking of people as disposable. The pandemic merely turned up the volume enough so that we can hear it and see how our policies hurt all of us. The pandemic also helped people realize the danger of our devotion to an economic structure that favors the wealthy, corporations, and cronies at the expense of everyone else. An economic structure that rewards corruption and greed. Indeed, even we bottom feeders get rewarded for greed. We're taught, encouraged to accumulate stuff, disposable stuff, and being good consumers, spend ourselves into debt, making us dependent and beholden to the rich and powerful. We're just comfortable enough, or too busy working three jobs to think clearly. And when they tell us, if you're not happy with things, then vote, the powerful make it difficult to do so in a myriad of nefarious ways. The pandemic exposed us to the truth that the lowest paid people in this country are the most essential to its functioning. Our heroes, we say. Thank you, essential workers, say the signs on our lawn. There they are, working without protective equipment, which would help prevent them from getting sick, or the means of acquiring health care when they do get sick. They work without protection because of others' greed, incompetence, and apathy. Oh well, in this market, employees are expendable. Again, disposable people. The pandemic has exposed, too, our vulnerability in the climate crisis. To illustrate just one problem, we know perfectly well that when you destroy habitat and ecosystems, break food chains with species loss, warm the climate, when you put animals together in fetid, filthy, unnatural spaces, you create a risk cocktail for zoonotic viruses to which we have no immunity to jump from animals to humans. If animals, if land, if trees, fields, fresh water, ice caps, vegetation, soil, oceans are disposable, meant for pillaging, extraction, poisoning, paving over, exploiting, what does that say about our relationship with nature, of which we are a part? Indeed, our relationship with creation, that God saw that it was good, that God saw that it was beautiful, our relationship with our Creator. Climate reality, economic justice, lack of preparedness by those we usually count on to protect us, to score political points, denial, ignorance, neglectfulness, greed, and corruption, are waking up to how, like garbage, there are disposable people in this culture, just as our culture considers creation disposable, to our own peril. All this has brought deep grief and a sense of helplessness to us. Grief upon grief. Grief upon grief. During this pandemic, not only are we not able to be with our loved ones, but we are not able to be with our loved ones as they are sick and dying. They die, unable to breathe, alone, without family or friends. If they are lucky, a brave nurse risking his or her life within the too busy chaos of the ICU may stroke a forehead, hold a hand. In late May, we were all holding our breath as we approached and then passed 100,000 deaths in the United States from the pandemic. The New York Times tried to mitigate the sense of being overwhelmed by this grim marker by publishing a sentence or two about hundreds of those people to help us not to objectify those deaths as a mere set of statistics. But then, that same week, we did attend a death. All of us, together. For a full 8 minutes and 46 seconds, we watched the intimacy of one man's dying, a cold-blooded, prolonged act of violence. We watched as he was crying for breath, calling to his mother, and again crying out for breath. Those of us who watched George Floyd die could not objectify him. When he couldn't breathe, we held our breath. When he called for his mother, we became his mother. 8 minutes and 46 seconds is a long, sustained time to let reality sink in. And we saw people take to the streets. In June, we saw state governments, city governments, museums, libraries, colleges and universities, celebrities, social media, sports franchises, the entertainment industry, even consumer products make profound changes. Book sales on anti-racism soared. Platforms for telling stories of racism expanded and flourished. White people are earnestly learning the difference between being against racism and being anti-racist. This issue of racism brings me back to my original worry about climate crisis. A recent editorial in the Sierra Club magazine says, "You can't have climate change without sacrifice zones, like the Arctic, the rainforest. And you can't have sacrifice zones without disposable people, say Flint, Michigan, cancer alleys everywhere. And you can't have disposable people without racism." Dearly beloved, is it possible that we can turn around a culture? But how do you move such a heavy weight? I learned something about yokes this week. You know, a yoke, that wooden frame that fits to the shoulders of the pair of oxen so that the two oxen can bear a greater weight than it can on its own. Wise farmers, good farmers, carved the yoke to fit each individual ox. The farmer knew the curve of muscle, the rhythm of effort, the beauty of movement of each animal. An easy yoke prevented chafing and sores and strain injuries. During this past month, I have seen the people of my country yoked together, moving what has seemed for 400 years an impossible weight. And you and me, the yoke is fitted right to our own strengths, and mindful of our weaknesses. How can you and I not accept this tender invitation to move the world, yoked to Christ, yoked to each other? Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Prayers of the People. O God, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear my bow.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us out.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others. Mm-hmm. Who is on your heart this morning? Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.